In a world where three pudgy middle school history teachers discuss random aspects of history.
That's all I got.
Oh, Hatfield, we got you.
Yeah, wait, who you calling pudgy?
Yeah, man, that's kind of rude.
No, I'm rude.
It's the History Bros Podcast.
History Bros coming at you. Jason Rood in the studio. Brian Geldmacher in St. Louis. Jason Hatfield in Durham, North Carolina. Good to talk to you, boys. How you been?
Great.
I've been fine.
That's outstanding. I like hearing that. I like hearing that.
Now, how are you, sir?
Yeah. Now, we've been doing some traveling, and we've got...
he's not going to answer that.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said, and how are you, sir? But you were rude and just moved on. Literally rude.
I am always rude.
He's rude.
I am always rude.
That's funny.
I just got back from a teacher institute, or from a deal with Brian Geldmacher, so you tell me how I'm doing.
Poorly.
Ah, come on. We had a great week. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We'll do that in another episode. But for right now, I do want to go back actually to a teacher institute that our good friend Jason Hatfield went to, the White House Historical Association one, though this one is not necessarily directly tied to the White House Historical Association. It's a side trip you took to a certain spot in Washington, D.C. that serves the best wok and rolls in the upper... No, I'm kidding. Okay, so they serve the best...
Get ahead of ourselves.
They serve the best place where a conspiracy was conspired related to the Lincoln assassination that you could find or something.
So,
like that.
So, of course, we've talked about this before when we had some guest speakers on before Ford's Theater and talked about mice as well, but...
Well, wait. You know what? Before we start anything, we need to remind everybody. Jason Hatfield, prior to being a teacher, was an actor... You got to be in a movie called The Conspirator, which was about...
It was my first motion picture, as a matter of fact.
And if you want more information on it, check out Wikipedia.
Right.
Great. That's great.
There's just bringing up the hits. And they're not hits. Really.
Anyway, go ahead. I had to do
so
that.
So anyway, though. So I, when I went back to college to be a teacher, I was still auditioning for stuff. And that's when I got this film... And all I knew about it was that it was a historical thing about Lincoln and the assassination. And that's all I really knew about it. So when I got it, we were just doing the assassination of Ford's, which they had built. It was all in Savannah. So when I finally saw the movie, you know, it was like, oh, here's a bit of history that I had no previous understanding. I had never heard of it before.
Sure.
And so I've used parts of the movie to, you know, again, talk in class about national reactions to tragedy.
Mainly
and,
just the parts he was in.
Right.
Right. And it was just like, everything else does not matter. You just need to watch me. Watch me. In fact, I give them a test. What was I wearing? How far am I down the cast list in the end credits?
The secret is, it's purple.
Right. I am the Joker. So it's really this huge thing that they don't even tap into, which I really personally, when I talked with Bobby Redford.
Oh, God.
So I would, you know, we talk about it after Civil War and talk about, again, how the nation responds to tragedies. And sometimes how, in times of war, the law falls silent. And so then I went back in one day and I was researching. I was like, oh, my God, it's a Chinese restaurant. And so it was a very bizarre thing for me. And so when I went to D.C. on this teacher conference that, you know, I got there and the only two people that I knew were out at Arlington. And so I'm like, well, let's why don't I see if I can find the Surratt boarding house? And I figure it's probably way across town or something. I don't know.
It's just around the corner from Ford's, for God's sakes.
Well, I don't know DC that well. So I pulled out my phone and I looked, and it was a 15-minute walk. So I was like, oh God, okay, well, this is what we're doing. So, and it's kind of strange because, okay, granted, it is now known as the Wok and Roll Restaurant, but it is in the Chinatown section of D.C. And so I walked downtown and I became very aware that the laws on the sale of cannabis have loosened in the D.C. area.
I don't know that they've necessarily loosened. I think they just, because it always smells like that.
It was crazy. So, and then when I finally got there, I'm like, this is it. Oh my God. And it was a bizarre, I can't describe it, but it was a bizarre thing to have been in the telling of this and have learned about it through this film to discover that it was true and that now I'm standing in front of it and that it's a Chinese restaurant. There's so many weird things in it. You can't help but wonder how many other places in the U.S., in the world, are the exact same thing.
And by that, you mean like history happened there and now it's something else. And history is kind of forgotten.
People walk by, have no idea. Right. Now, they do have, there is a plaque outside the door. And I'm actually looking at a website that talks about, it was a survey from historic, it was a historic American building survey for Washington, D.C. And so there's a lot of photos of the Surratt boarding house, the interior of it.
Sure.
Probably between usage. This is documentation compiled after 1933. So I'm looking at this and it looks like it's been a Chinese restaurant for a considerable amount of time.
Sure.
But so while I was there, I was like, well, why don't I go in? I mean, I'm sitting outside. Why don't I go the whole 9 yards and just go in and order some food? I can't say that the staff was incredibly welcoming.
Sure.
But they do have a little plaque on the outside that's not even a part of like a National Register of Historic Places. It was like the Lions Club put this up on the side. So I went in and had a couple of the food was actually, I felt, was pretty good, honestly. But a group of us went back later in the week. And as we're sitting there, they started doing research on all the Yelp reviews.
Uh-oh.
And I think it had a Yelp review of 5.
Oh.
So we're like, okay, well, I guess we'll get just maybe some light appetizers here and go someplace else to eat. So, but I mean, everybody there knew about the Surratt boarding house. So when we were talking about Wok and Roll, people were like, oh yeah, that's the Surratt boarding house. And it was, again, that's what's one of the great things about going to these is because you're around a bunch of people who know the nerdy stuff that you know.
Right.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to do the backstory and explain it.
But it doesn't have a great reputation.
No,
for Chinese food. In fact, I had more than one person say, you know, you could be taking your life in your own hands when you're eating, you know, there. But I mean, there were a lot of people there and the food that I had was not bad.
Right.
So I don't know. Apart from them being a little grumpy when I was there, it didn't seem, you know, but to be sitting in what would have been the first floor, the historic photos, you would have actually gone up the stairs and into the second floor.
Right.
But sitting in the first floor eating Chinese food where a floor above John Wilkes Booth and John Surratt and George Adsurat and, you know, these people were plotting the kidnapping of Lincoln and then eventually the assassination I have no way to process that.
Right. The power of place, man. The power of place.
I mean, I can't. I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm freaking out because of just my connections with it, but the historical significance. And other people are just sitting there eating, you know, General Chow and just kind of on a date or something like that. And I'm like, this is, there's something just wrong about this. I don't, I can't, I don't know. It's like, oh, you know, the, let's change the, you know, the farmhouse, the Garrett farmhouse that, you know, John Wilkes Booth died. Let's turn that into a bed and breakfast. I mean, there's something about it that seems a little strange, but
like you just don't.
I mean, it's not. But again, as we've talked before, would you want to turn that into a museum? Would that be a shrine? Or, you know,
that's
I would
really
hope that if they wanted to sell it, that they would preserve it. But again, there's something kind of cool about eating Chinese food.
Sure.
In such an infamous place. I don't know. It's like in putting a Target in Nuremberg or something. There just seems to be something that seems wrong about it. But
so wait a minute. Are you saying you were in the room where it happened?
Oh, gosh.
No, well, I don't think so. Where it happened. Yeah, I was in the storage room underneath where it happened, probably.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're just going to crap all over my Hamilton reference?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the building where it happened, but I wasn't in the, you know.
You weren't necessarily in the room where it happened. There's a song. Have you seen Hamilton?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Yeah. There's a song called that. Just so you
know. Yeah, I've seen the show. I'm
I know.
I'm but sorry. You got to think. I mean, do you guys have any other examples of a strange kind of flip of a house?
Yes, I do.
Or, okay.
Washington, D.C., also related to the Lincoln assassination. So William Seward was destroyed, or not destroyed, was attacked in a house in Lafayette Park. Sure. And it's from your hotel, which would have been on the northeast corner, kind of by St. John's Church, right?
Yes, around there.
So if you'd have gone down, that's 14th Street, I think. If you go about halfway down the block between Pennsylvania there, I forget what the avenues are on the north side or street it is. But basically, if you're looking out the front door of the White House, look to the right halfway up the block there, and the house is no longer there. In fact, I don't even think it's marked, but that's where the house was, where Seward was attacked. But that's also the house where Dan Sickles shot and killed Philip Barton Key.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that example. There's examples of houses where, you know, you find out.
So are you talking about in that same cluster around the corner from Blair House?
So I'm saying across Lafayette Park from Blair House, not on the same side as Blair House. So across from Decatur House, across from Blair House.
Where the Talo House is.
Correct.
And the Madison House in that correct. Little area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The Talo House, by the way, that was one of the places that we walked by. The front of it, the Talo House, was where a lot of the women's suffrage protests were kind of originating from.
Sure.
They would walk out there. In fact, some of the first protesting to ever happen in front of the White House was by women suffragists.
Sure.
And they originated from the Talo House and then walked across and then.
I'll give you another one. In Milwaukee, I forget which hotel it is, but the place where Teddy Roosevelt got shot and then went and gave a speech, that's in Milwaukee. There's a marker there denoting it, but like there's no special memorialization of it really, other than just a marker on the inside.
But is that like a bizarre turn of what it is?
Is it a Starbucks now?
Oh. Or
I'll have the give me two shots of Teddy.
Yeah, that's fair. I get what you're saying.
That would be like, you know, I mean, that's it's I can't explain it. I cannot describe it, but to be in it's weird. It is so weird.
Right.
But I can't say that the food was bad. But it was like was it the best Chinese food I've had? Probably not. But that being said, just sitting in there and just knowing people are walking by this place. I mean, homeless people sitting on the stairs across the street.
Well, and the number of people that don't know what that place is. Like, if you said, like, if you, you take my mom into Washington, D.C., and she's like, oh, look, there's the Walk and Roll. That's a funny name. Yeah, do you know what that house is all about? What happened in that building?
Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, my gosh, that's really interesting. I'm glad you're on this trip with me, you know?
Well, it kind of makes you think, though, if Mary Surratt, what kind of rice paper she used for her egg rolls. Jesus.
That, honestly, that's really what I would like to know more than anything.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's fair. That's
it, are the egg rolls authentic to the period?
Right. I mean, oh, and I want to know the history of it. Like, how did it change hands? Because obviously she's the first woman to be executed by the federal government. I don't have any other information as to, you know, did Anna, you know, therefore then sell it, or, you know, was she trying to keep the business? When did it change hands? And then why? And then, you know, and the person that purchases it, you know, ultimately to turn it into a Chinese restaurant, it's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. I don't.
Well, Ford's Theater itself is another one. That was, they didn't know what to do with it. They shut it down, and it became an office building. They tore out the entire inside and made an office out of it. And then eventually it was restored back into a theater after they had a collapse in there and killed a few people.
Right. Right. Right.
Like, a lot of people. Because the interior structure gave out, and it, yeah. You know, There's a lot of examples of this out there. If you just history's out there, you just got to go find it, right? And right. This is exactly what we're talking about. The Algona prison camp I visited earlier this year was a prison camp during World War II. It's an airport now. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the question that I have, because my hometown fights over this, like, you got people that are big into the preservation of historic buildings or old buildings. And the stories behind them are like, okay, that's great. But that, you know, at what point do you go and say that story is important enough to preserve? But progress, you know, requires that we demolish this one. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I find myself becoming increasingly interested in older buildings. But especially in my own neighborhood. But yeah. I also understand that, you know, if this is just a house that was built in 1908, is it worth preserving because it was built in 1908 or because there's an amazing story to be told from inside that house?
Right.
Right.
There's a very big difference.
Well, I guess it would depend on the, like, if you would preserve it due to the architecture, like the style,
right,
or
yeah,
who designed it, or the story that's involved with it. Yeah.
Right.
The St. Valentine's Day Massacre happened inside of a garage, right? It's a parking lot. It's a parking lot now.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Right. There's nothing there.
We actually did a tour when I was in Chicago.
I don't even think there's a marker there, is there?
No.
That's crazy.
And then you go out into this kind of in the middle of nowhere between these roads, and you see this Roman, this literal Roman column that was a gift to Chicago by... I can't think of his name. Dictator, the fascist dictator Mussolini.
Mussolini.
It's just it's so bizarre to just kind of stumble around, you know, across this kind of thing. But you know, so many people probably, you know, ordering food, getting food from there, sitting in there on dates. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Mary Surratt, Anna Surratt, mom's just been hanged by the government. And, you know, however many years down the road, oh, yeah, there's going to be people on their first date eating Chinese food down in our basement.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's difficult for me to wrap my brain around some of this stuff, but
here's another one. And they've rebuilt a replica there, but the house that the Civil War ended in, yeah, that got torn down.
Mm.
That's not the original Appomattox Courthouse?
So that wasn't, first off, Appomattox Courthouse is not the courthouse.
It's the town, right?
It's the name of the town. Secondly, it wasn't done in a courthouse, it was done in a guy's house.
In a farmhouse.
McLean.
Yeah.
The McLean house. So he actually originally lived up by Manassas and there was some skirmishing that happened on his property. And he said, this is dangerous. I got to get out of here.
He moved and said, I want to get away from the war. And he ended up having the
war come back to him at Appomattox. Yeah. And then the story that I always heard is that people wanted mementos. And of course, there was no souvenir shop. So they just took his stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've always heard. But yeah, the house fell into disrepair and it collapsed and is gone. Honestly, Mount Vernon darn near collapsed into disrepair in the mid 1800s and was almost destroyed. And there's obviously millions of stories about that place. Sure. Thomas Jefferson's home, Monticello, was in disrepair in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and there was talk about maybe just, you know, packing it in, calling it good. You know, so the historical preservation is very interesting. And obviously we could have historical site people come on and talk to us about the importance of doing that. But again, those are some major historic sites that we all know about. This one, like you're saying, Hatfield, this is a place where, you know, do you want to memorialize that? Probably not memorialize it. Do you want to recognize it? Okay, probably. But now it's a Chinese restaurant, you know. And there's a. Go ahead.
That's hilarious.
No, well, I can't. It's still. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the photos that I uploaded to Facebook, and I'm just kind of like, I mean, that's where it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not a set. It's not like, you know, some sort of fictitious thing. I mean, that in that building, John Wilkes Booth came over and would hang out. And they made this huge plot for it. And it's like, and now it's, that room is probably, you know, a dingy office where they're doing, like, you know, bills and sending out orders. And I just, the life of buildings is just.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating. It is fascinating. So.
Oh, it absolutely is. And there's more in Washington, D.C. that I can't even think of off the top of my head right now that have that same type of thing. Because I know I've done research on a lot of these. Like, that's one of the things I'll do is if I'm going somewhere, I will specifically look to see if I can figure out what it was or where it was. There's a lot of them out there. Like, if people only knew.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. I mean, those kind of stories, I mean, it's got that kind of an edge of really interesting, bizarre history.
Oh.
Modern history tied into this, you know, something that's firmly embedded in our national culture, you know, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, or just sometimes it's just street corners where things happened. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's where that happened. You know, people don't even think about it, you know, after it's no longer fresh in the memory. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but that's what I got. I don't have any more examples. I'm trying to rack my brain to come up with other examples of that type of stuff.
I'm sure there are hundreds. I'm sure there are absolute hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Examples where something immensely important took place and now there's a McDonald's.
Right. Right, exactly. There is one of those. Oh, what was it? The original McDonald's. I don't even know if that's even there anymore. No, it is. I guess there's a museum there now. The one in Des Plaines.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the museum closed.
Okay.
I don't even think the museum's there anymore. I could be wrong.
Okay. Probably staffing shortages.
Probably,
yeah.
The ice cream machine section is down.
There you go. All right. Well, that's all I've got. You guys got anything else?
No. But if I do come across any other Surratt-esque style stories, I'm definitely bring those up. So
absolutely. Let's do it.
That's fair.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us on this one. Of course, check us out on the social medias. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or if you want to check out the videos related to this, of course, we got a video of the Surratt House from Jason Hatfield. Got that stuff while he was out there. You can check that out on our YouTube channel. at History Bros Stories from the Road. And then, of course, you can check out historybros.com to get links to all of that stuff. That's kind of your one-stop shop for all things History Bros. Hey, folks, you know, we've got 100 episodes out now. Maybe we should see if anybody wants a T-shirt. Maybe we should design a T-shirt. Folks, what? Here's the History Bros listener challenge of the day. What should be on the History Bros T-shirt?
That's fair. Good question.
Head to Facebook, head to Instagram, head to Twitter. Shout us out. Tell us, what should be on a History Bros T-shirt? Does that work for you guys?
Yep.
As long as it's school appropriate.
Yes, correct. We got to be able to wear it into the schools. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on this one this week. Have a good one, everybody. We will talk to you soon.
See ya.
Peace out.
Deuces.